Here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Fan podcast. This is episode 199. Episode 199. We're getting near to that 200 mark. Not that it means, oh, not really interested in numbers. The format is simple. Ring MI6 up, tell them who we are, and they'll say, they work for us already, so don't worry. No, I'm only joking. We try and release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast and download. Non-members get part one. All shows are released on Saturdays, so don't worry, you're not going to miss out. They're all released on Saturdays. Podcasts are always at sheepfarm.co.uk, sheepfarm.co.uk. Please email me if you haven't heard that part. Yeah, I know you do.
You do.
We also put part one on Podomatic. They send them out to Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, and Apple. Odyssey and Rumble, there's also part one on there as well. Please subscribe to the website if you want email notifications for live shows or the notifications for the weekly shows. And subscribe to Instagram if you want to follow Chris's big nostril Instagram page.
Well, I'll just put a few drones on there. I haven't put all on there for a while, actually. And also, you can sign up for the second hour for £2 a month. You need, oh, you never say that, fine.
Nope, don't say that.
Well, it's just information. I'd also look at his merch shop if you want a t-shirt. Yeah, why not mention it?
Yeah, Mr. Hardcore Salesman.
No, I know.
And that's it, really. Thanks to everybody for buying supplements. Remember to use the discount code. It's all there in the show notes. And also, Richard D. Hall's donation information is there as well. He should be finding out, I think, back end of this month, what the verdict is.
I think we said we'd get Nick back on to discuss that.
Yeah. If you were a betting man, which way would you say, Chris?
I've got no idea, if I... What do you think?
Well, listening to Ian Davis's...
Oh, or Ian Davis could come back on as well.
Yeah, Ian Davis would be a good one to get back on for that as well. Listening to Ian Davis's report from the July kangaroo court, they weren't even going on about...
Yeah, well, hopefully it's all just going to vanish.
Yeah, they weren't even going on about the case, because the case doesn't exist, really. If Manchester Police looked into it in 2021 and there was no case to answer, how is there a case? For the life in me, this is how we know it's a kangaroo court. He's not allowed to produce his evidence, and so they don't want the evidence in court. Because going back a few years ago, I always thought they'd never want that evidence in there. This would be for all. But the tap dance around that by not allowing it.
But you're powerless, Fatty. You're powerless against any of this stuff. There's nothing you can do.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Can you remember that film with Daniel Day-Lewis, whose dad were in Information Research Department, MI6? Sir Daniel Day-Lewis. Can you remember that film? What were it called? The IRA one? Anyway, that one. I remember when they were getting sent down and the judge said, if I could still hang you all, you'd all be getting hung now.
They're all
going to the gallows. And then 20 years later, whatever it was, they realised that police had lied and it were all a miscarriage of justice.
That's why it should never be a death penalty.
Yeah, but that's what it reminded me. All right, it wasn't as serious as that Richard's going through, but it reminded me of that. Where the law, you cannot produce that. That's not, your defence is irrelevant.
Yeah. It's Kafkaesque, which is used a lot, but it's like the trial, and he's got no power. You got no power to fight against the system. Yes. It's like, I know I was going about my speeding fines. I got those two speeding fines, but it's like that. You've got your power. No, but two speeding fines 4 minutes apart, and you're powerless to do anything.
You know how many times I've heard this story? You guys hear it on the podcast. You know how many times I've heard it?
Because it's the injustice. I hate injustice. That's why we do this. This is why I'm on this thing, because I just hate shit like that.
Yeah.
The injustice of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where you're powerless. And that's what they want, isn't it? That's the whole thing. They want more of that, don't they?
Yeah, it's a system.
You're powerless. And it's going to get to a point where you're going down, you're just going to get they're going to take the money out of your bank account before you even get a letter. It's just gone. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That is the way the world works.
Yeah. If your car will just go, it'll just disappear.
Yeah, shut down, won't it? Worse that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would be the fucking burst into dream flame. of the synagogue of Satan.
Burst into flames.
That's maybe why they do it. Then it just totally incinerates, and all they have to do is some robot will come out into the street and just sweep you up.
And charge you 500 quid.
Send a bill to your family. Parking.
Here's his ashes with his with his Tesla.
Tesla logo ash box.
Maybe it's a new one for Elon Musk, that.
Okay, now. I should be involved with these fuckers. I could come with some brilliant ideas.
Marketing department to Tesla. Tesla ash box. I think it'd be a nice one, that. It comes with a free ash box. No ashtray, just an ash box.
Just like transforms in on itself.
I wonder if in car it says somewhere no smoking.
you put a video on, didn't you, of that?
The Matrix one, in last night's
combusted.
Synchronicity video. By the way, we're recording this on the 10th of the 10th, but it'll be going out the week following. We're trying to get a bit in front. People will be listening to this on the 19th. Yeah, okay. So this week we asked someone who hadn't been on for 3 years to come back on, Ilana Freeland, and we had a good chat for about an hour and 30-odd minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it was. I like most of these, they could go on all night, but we had a really good chinwag. Hopefully she's going to come back after Christmas when her new book's out to have a chat about that. And also, she's a Rudolf Steiner, what would he say? I think she studied him. I think she went to some kind of college to study him. Be interesting to see what Lee thinks of that as well from Inner Guardians.
There is Steiner schools, don't there?
I think Lee went to a Steiner school.
Are they private schools, are they?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, Lee went to a Steiner school.
Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be amazing we're all about this, I think. I don't know what we're talking to about it. If at school you learnt about credit cards and debt and working for yourself.
Practical things.
And posture, exercise, diet, instead of how many...
Didn't Germans do that in 1936? Jumping over hobby horses, leapfrog and stuff.
Instead of learning about how many wives are under the 8th had. And we missed one about this point, and algebra as well. Your times table, pluses and minuses, and maybe a bit of fractions. Other than that, you don't fucking need any of that.
I thought Abacus were a Swedish pop band. Right, well, we'll move on. If you're joining us in part two, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
All right, welcome back to Sheep Fan. This is episode 199. And our guest today last appeared on our podcast way back in October 2021, which was episode 37. Anybody who wants to look back at that? That was back in the dark days of lockdowns, face masks, and threats of forced vaccination. Anyone who remember that? No? Well, we're 3 years on and into this nightmare, and sadly, it ain't got any better. Military-grade propaganda is still being pumped out on an unsuspecting population, all too eager to get back to normal in 2021, that took the poison being dished out, when really it was thinking normal that got us into this mess in the first place. Ilana Freeland is a writer, ghostwriter, teacher, and lecturer who researches and writes on issues like geoengineering, MKUltra, ritual abuse, targeting, and invasive electromagnetic weapons. She's best known for a trilogy of books, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, which I've got here somewhere. There we go. Second book, Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. Very apt name. Third book, which when we last spoke, she was just releasing. I think it was just about to be released. Geoengineered Transhumanism, How the Environment Has Been Weaponized by Chemtrails, Electromagnetism, and Nanotechnology for a Synthetic Biology, all published by Feral House, which is great that at least some publishers are still publishing this type of work, isn't it? As well. The book she's working on right now is about how synthetic biology and nanotechnology have been employed to change us all via epigenetics or epigenetic alteration, meaning the change of our own genes in our own lifetimes, which is quite a scary process. And I've been actually rattling on about that for quite a long time as well. So we are a little bit aligned on that, on those subjects, I think. You've probably got more knowledge on it than I have. So I'd like to welcome back Ilana Freeland.
So good to be back at Sheep Farm.
Yeah. It's good
love
being on the
it.
farm. It's not too good being farmed, but it's good being back on the farm. It's interesting though, isn't it, that your books going back and what you were discussing decades ago all culminated in 2020, really. Everything was turned on full max at that point, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, for me, writing those books, it took over 15 years, about 15 years, I think. I really found that each one gave birth to the next one because I'd come across what's true on a certain level, and it would then give me the questions about the next level, and then that level would give me the questions about the next level. And so I started out, I mean, this is the part I always think of. I started out working with the independent scientist Clifford Carnicom back in, oh gosh, 2005. And he was collecting what was falling from the sky in northern New Mexico. He was the only scientist mentioning at all that he was testing. He tested the atmosphere with a Van de Graaff generator. He tested the stuff he would find in containers. He put it through the microscope. He looked at his HEPA filter and pulled dust out of there and examined that under the microscope. So he was onto something, and measuring, because he had worked for the Department of Defense before, believe it or not. And had realized that the Department of Defense was going in pretty much the opposite direction that he was going in, which was to make sure humanity understood the dangers of the technologies that the American military was basically putting up in our sky. So I began to work with him and realized that the Morgellons, do you remember that term, Morgellons?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, Morgellons was, we were finding these fibers in what was coming as the detritus out of these jets that were flying very high up in the stratosphere. And the Morgellons appeared to be, as he began to examine it and go layer by layer through it, it appeared to have been bioengineered. So it was partially natural, but it was also partially not natural, especially in how it took the three kingdoms of nature and put them all together in one creature. And as he went deeper and deeper into it, he attempted to get the attention of the Environmental Protection Agency, the CDC. And they never responded. He would send them things he had done, just hoping that they would reproduce the experiment and therefore vouch for his what he had found. Nothing, got nothing. But he did get, and I probably mentioned this to you 3 years ago because it's pretty shocking. There he had a way on his computer whereby he could see who visited his site, and his site was carnicominstitute.com at that time. And what he found was in 2 weeks' time, lo and behold, 125 or 30 alphabet agencies from Washington, D.C. and Colorado Springs were hitting his site extensively in order to see what he was coming up with on his own. So it seemed to him that there was some bad juju going on with the government, which was certainly no surprise. And that's about when I met him. And I was researching for a series of books I wrote, which I hardly ever talk about because they're fiction, but they're fiction based on a lot of political fact. And they're called the Sub Rosa America, A Deep State History. Yep, there they are. And they are four books. Or they're three now. I think I got them down. No, they're four. And they're about what we went through in America that really tore America down by the deep state. And I had a file on chemtrails. I had a file on HAARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project up in Gakona, Alaska, very famous acronym, and rightfully so. It's an incredible weapon system, unbelievable, makes the atomic bomb look like kindergarten, believe it or not. So all of this was under wraps, and hardly anyone knew that these existed. And so I Clifford helped me do a breakdown of Bernard Eastland's patents for the HAARP antenna up in Alaska, which turned out to be to have by 2013 or 2014 complete control over the ionosphere. And the ionosphere is miles above us. It's a big sphere around the entire Earth, protecting us from solar flares, etc. And it turns out that really what HAARP was really good at was zapping the ionosphere, and with its calculus trigonometry capabilities, bouncing those signals off of the ionosphere, loaded now with ions and therefore highly charged as a weapon system. So, all this lay before me, and as you were indicating, each book gave birth to the next until finally I arrived back at synthetic biology, Morgellons, and that was with the jab in 2000 to 2023. I mean, 2020 to 2023, and that's where I was revisiting that subject of synthetic biology and realized that it was connected to all three of these other sciences: the chemistry, the nanotechnology, and what's the third one?
5G.
Yep, the 5G.
Yeah.
So I just kept going, and this last book, actually, you don't quite have it right. The geoengineered transhumanism, I did not publish that with Farrell House
Right,
because
okay, sorry.
Adam Parfrey was dead, and he was my guy there, even though his sister's running it now, and very nice person. And I make royalties from those two books that are there. I published on my own, Paint for Everything, the third book, which is like a telephone book, big fat
Yeah.
thing, Geoengineered Transhumanism. And that's where I really get into the synthetic biology and begin to build that context for looking at geoengineering from another angle. And because of all the chemicals that the geoengineering requires for their various operations and classified operations, I might add, because it's a highly classified program, believe it or not. You can find out a lot on the web if you spend 1,000 hours like I have, but you have to really have the discernment and the judgment and the infrastructure of what you're looking for in order to be able to recognize these components of a highly classified topic, because it is an amazing weapon system. And we just saw it in operation in North Carolina. We just saw it. And that was, there is, as I say again and again and again, it's hard for people to believe, wrap their heads around. There is no natural weather that I know of. Maybe down in a few solitary islands, they have a few minutes of natural weather now and then, in the South Pacific in particular, because we pick up a lot of our weather that we then doctor in all sorts of ways. We pick it up down in the South Pacific and hoist it north, bypassing California, which has been in drought for many years, bypassing Oregon, which has also been in drought, and bring it a couple hundred miles off the coast of where I live in Washington State, and then prepare it for tacking it onto the jet stream that's parked over Vancouver Island, north of us here, and sending it east for various weather that is being built up and created over the Midwest of the United States, the East Coast and the Southeast, where North Carolina is.
What that reminded me of when I've seen pictures of North Carolina was the hurricane that was on 9/11. It's a very
Oh, yeah.
similar, yeah, very similar weapon system. Sorry,
Yeah, I think that
weather
one was
system.
called
I probably got it
Huron.
right
Yeah.
first time.
Well, and there was also a hurricane. I don't know the name by heart, but there was a hurricane off of Maui when they hit Maui as well. So what the hurricane does in that case, not this one, but in that case, was it provides an energy system off coast that they can draw on for the operation going on, that is a singular operation, such as Maui, singular, 9/11, singular. They may call on it, they may not call on it, then they can also whip it up and get everybody looking at the hurricane and not looking at what's going on the mainland. And that's kind of what happened here. This was, in a way, a surprise, but to tell you the truth, I was not surprised because North Carolina and all down in the southeast, right in that area, is very near fracture lines and plates in the what's called the New Madrid fault line. And the New Madrid is, I talk about that in the first book, I believe, where that is actually a topic for those who can destroy on a scale like this, that they have considered in fracturing the United States and breaking the United States into two parts at that point. So I wasn't surprised that it was going into North Carolina. Then I found out about the minerals that were there, the quartz, the lithium, et cetera. And of course, I want to use a phrase that's not very acceptable, so I'll use something else. It's all out now that they can just do what they want, and then they control the media, put the stories in the media for the cover stories, and then everybody just sort of hunkers down and rides it out, yet rides out yet another assault, yet another assault, yet another assault. And that's where we're at now. I mean, I've known about the deep state for decades, and they're a ruthless bunch. They're satanic. They're Satanists. They're practicing Satanists, at least the ones at the top. Others are just along for the perks, right? The high salaries, the positions,
The
the
status,
parties, the girls, the kids, all that. So it's pretty nasty, and we've pretty much lost the country that I certainly was born into in 1947. I was born the year that the CIA was founded and that the National Security Act was passed. And that dynamic duo has really brought this country low, in my opinion. It was a very bad move on Harry Truman, true man. In Harry Truman's estimation, I think later he tried to wiggle out of it. But it's unfortunate that this is the United States that we end up with. And I really apologize to all the young people who expected us to take better care of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and not to just sink into comfort and convenience and hoping that that the storm rolls over us and we're okay. That kind of selfishness in the United States has driven me nuts over the years, and it's been why I work so hard at telling the truth to the best of my ability. And even in an era where people don't read anymore, here I am writing one book after another, and people don't read. In fact, the fourth geoengineering book that I said I wasn't going to write, it is due out in February 2025. It was supposed to come out this summer, but I really felt that I had to rewrite three chapters in order to strengthen them to say what I really wanted to say. And so that book is coming out under Inner Traditions and Bear Company. I've known about them for years and years and years because they were, seems to me that back in the 70s when I was living in California, they were in Berkeley and they had published two science books that have to do with spirit, which is what they like, which is what I write. And that one was the Tao of Physics, and the other was the Dancing Wu Li Masters. And these were two exceptionally good books that I read. And so I'm very honored to be published now by Inner Traditions. I have also signed a contract to write the next book, which is really sort of the addendum to the book that'll be out in February, and that is primarily on synthetic biology, what it is, what it isn't, what the challenge for us is to be able to tell the difference between what is natural and what is synthetic, because they are heading us straight into the abyss of transhumanism. And if they take it as far as they want, there will be no human race in the future.
But I
And
mean,
so,
these Satanists view, I think, view humans as we stand today as an outdated system, don't
yeah, an inferior system
they?
looking at sensitivity toward other human beings, love, genuine love, compassion, humility, all the virtues that the Christian walk, and I don't mean churchianity. Churchianity is sort of on
Churchianity,
their
like
side now.
it. I like that, churchianity.
I like Christianity. I meet real Christians, and I can tell
I'm a real Christian.
who are, whether or not I believe in everything in their theology, that's not the point. I think we're at the point now where what we're looking at is good versus evil. No matter what your good is that you call good, it has to be for the good. And that's for me, it's backed up by Rudolf Steiner. I've been a student of Rudolf Steiner for many years. I was involved in starting four Waldorf schools because I wanted children to have a childhood. I didn't really have a childhood. I was sort of a prodigy. And so I was pushed and shoved and graduated high school very young, and was kind of screwed up because of other family things that I had going on. So I love Rudolf Steiner. He's the one, and you may remember this, when the whole jab thing started, two doctors came on, and it got a lot of web presence. One was Dietrich Klinghardt,
Yeah, Dr. Klinghardt,
MD, and he is known for his incredible abilities in dealing with some of this synthetic biology called Lyme's
Well,
disease.
I've got Lyme. I've
Oh,
suffered with
wow.
Lyme. Yeah,
All
I've
right.
suffered with Lyme
It's a
for
synthetic
I know.
biological ailment that was spawned by the US government. And you might want to read this. Let me show you. I just finished it. It
Right.
was, oh
Wetware.
no, not this one. Not this one.
I might want to read
Yeah, I'm reading that now. And
that as well.
what that one gives you is just a sense of natural cells and what they are naturally, so that you know when you're approaching the synthetic. No, this is it, the sleeper
I've
agent.
got it. I'm actually gonna
Yeah.
get I'm actually gonna get him on the show. Great book.
Okay, great, because I really enjoyed it. Now, the one thing he doesn't have right is there is no virus,
Yeah, I know. I
but
know.
they are making virus synthetically.
Yes. It's a
And
poison, but
that's
it's a
what
poison
they
basically, isn't it?
call, huh?
The poison basically, isn't it? Not
Yeah,
yeah.
that's what they call virus. They're using proteins. They're converting proteins into these, into virus. They're converting bacteria into virus. So there is no virus. But anyway, I really, really enjoyed it because
Sorry,
he
that book's
just
called
nails,
The Sleeper
huh?
Agent.
Who
Yeah,
is
that
it
book's
by?
called The
Who's it
Sleeper
by? The
Agent.
Sleeper Agent. Yes, it's by A.W. Finnegan.
I have been
Right.
in contact with him. We're
Right.
going to get him on
Okay.
at some point soon.
Yeah.
Just so people are asking
He's done an
us.
excellent job. So, given that he still thought there was virus, I had to read through. There was a lot of virus, but it was easy for me. I read between the lines. I'm sort of an expert now after years of studying the CIA, deception, conspiracy theory, blah, blah, blah. I'm kind of an expert in reading
His
through
book
drawing.
there is a follow on from two other books. One was called Lab 1367, I think it was called. I've got it upstairs somewhere. That
What
was
about the
about
Japanese?
no, it's about Plum Island.
Oh yeah, Plum Island,
About
right.
Plum Island, yeah, and the Animal Research Centre there. And that's it was
Right.
just off the coast of Connecticut near Lyme. And that's
That's
where
right.
he escaped. When I say escaped, when there was
Yeah.
trying to, they were trying to poison ticks to spread the disease, if you like.
That's right. Well, the
Yeah.
ticks were the carriers.
Yes,
They
yeah.
were the carriers.
They were the
So,
vector, yeah.
and that's connected to Morgellons.
Yeah.
First came Lyme. Next was Morgellons, and Morgellons took it a step further into the synthetic.
Yes.
So, once you begin to connect the dots, you see that this is a long process, this lead up to transhumanism. It used to be we only heard the term from the singularity guy that now runs the
Kurzweil, or whatever it's called. Ray Kurzweil.
Kurzweil. Yeah, Kurzweil. Yeah, and he's now running Google there, the science, in the Google University. So now we begin to connect the dots, and the big dots that I'm connecting that most people are just not picking up on yet, but it takes people a long time, and especially their thoughts are very fuzzy now post-vax. Everything
Just a
is not
bit.
working quite, and we're surrounded by all these waves. And all these nanosensors and nanobots, and we have nanobots in our brain. I mean, we've got a lot going on, and I give people the benefit of the doubt. But truthfully, I'm writing these books for the future, for when they all sort of get their heads squared away and wonder what happened back now. Is and I'm the only person I know of that's making this incredible connection with geoengineering, other than, of course, Clifford Carnicom, the scientist that I'm still good friends with, and we're still sharing information. And I've begun working with a microscopy group in Australia, where they're looking at live blood analysis a lot. And I attend their virtual meetings once a week in order to see what they're coming up with. Really bright people, maybe 30 or so. Run by Dr. David Nixon, MD. And here in the States, lo and behold, I live 13 miles from Dr. Anna Michalcha, MD, PhD, who is very big on this and a real student of nanotechnology. In fact, it was by reading my book, someone gave her my book, Geoengineered Transhumanism. It was from that that she suddenly really put it all together, that not only were we getting it jabbed in the arm and with our babies as well from the minute they get here, but it's coming from the sky as well. And we're
And
breathing it
I'm
in.
ingesting it and everything, yeah,
Yes,
absorbing it.
yes. So
I think the nanoparticulate thing for anybody who, I don't know, people listening here will be mainstream, but anybody who's mainstream outside that sort of circle would not believe that people would want to infect, I'll use the word infect or intoxicate people with these things that could actually grow within you. They just don't believe that. It's very hard
there,
to get
yeah.
across, isn't it, that to people that it's like science fiction film. That's why.
Well, it is. I mean, it's so tiny. We tend to think of, we worry about the big, but we don't worry about the tiny, except if your doctor says you have a virus. Now he's cooking. He's got the war metaphor for how you're under assault, and he's got the answers, namely big pharma drugs. So yes, the tiny we leave to the medical profession, and I think one of the good things may, from this last 3 to 4 years may be that maybe people won't trust the medical industry as readily as they were. I hear particularly ladies around my age that I have very little in common with, because they mainly talk about their visits to the great white doctor. That's what I call them. I haven't been to a doctor since I was 13, because I studied Chinese medicine in my 20s. I thought I was going to be a Chinese medical doctor. And I loved the yin yang. I loved that I was given the principles. There are seven theorems of the universe. and 12 theorems in addition. And I was given those, and with my really good brain that I have, thank you, thank you. I was able to go through that and make my own discernments about what I should be eating, what I should be doing in my life, that sort of thing. And boy, has it paid off in spades, because I haven't been to a doctor and well, figure it
Well,
out. That's 64 years.
me and my wife cured our symptoms of Lyme. We run an ozone clinic. We use ozone therapies, IV,
Oh,
and lots of
good.
other therapies, and massive doses of vitamin C and diet. Yeah, but mainly the ozone therapies were. So we now help other people, but the people coming in that have been jabbed, they're difficult people to. You can't really do anything for them. They come in
Well,
with epileptic seizures and things like that.
let's talk about that a little bit because it's complex. It's and the complexity comes to me, and I can prove this, that there has been great resistance to people knowing this, is the electromagnetic portion of the jab. Because as you know from you've probably been paying attention on the net. A couple of years ago, down in Mexico, they did an experiment with bringing people out into a field where there were no cell phones, no reception, no towers, and being able to pick up on them electromagnetically as they approached the primary tent. And what that said was that they were on a leash, and all people who have had the jabs, I would say, I don't know if it's still going on, but I would assume it is because this is highly experimental, this transhuman move. They are on an electromagnetic leash, so they could constantly be impacted by those who control the electromagnetic leash. And one of the things that comes under, in America anyway, is precision medicine, they call it. Now, precision medicine is where they, like for a diabetic, they put a little thing there that reads the blood sugar all the time so they can read that biometric 24/7. And it's in the body. I mean, it's like complete control over the diabetic. I never know when someone tells me they're diabetic, and then I hear that they have this precision medicine device in them, and it's being read from the hospital or from wherever. I never know what to say to them because if I tell them some things that would be good for the diabetes, because I know a lot about diet, and I never take supplements, I use food as medicine. Why tell them? Because it can be blocked by those who are controlling the diabetes in the first place. So that's part of the idea now is with the vaxxed people. And I'm of course not vaxxed. They're on a leash
A
so
remote
that,
lease, a remote lease.
it's a remote leash and it's 5G, 6G. Now you have to add 6G because you'll be told that 6G is not quite ready yet and blah, blah, blah. No, it's fully functional. And it works with 5G because the waves are getting tinier and tinier and tinier, right? We have the terahertz is following after the gigahertz.
And
So,
really, I mean, telecoms, I was in telecoms in the 90s and 2000s
yes.
and the 9 10s. The leap from 4G to 5G shouldn't be 4 or 5. It's the equivalent of riding a bicycle at 4G and riding a supersonic jet at 5G. That's the leap.
Right.
Whereas,
With, and I would put 4G plus
yeah,
in
in the
as
middle of it.
a stretcher there because the 4G plus has the phased array antenna in it, the same as the 5G phone has the phased array antenna. Now, the phased array antenna is a very big part of this because that's what gives the power. And it's not a like the old one was sort of old antennas sort of scanning, going back and forth, that sort of thing. No, this one is 360 and can be merged with other antennas, the beams coming from them, to where you can make a giant beam that can become a weapon system immediately. So the phased array antenna is in the cell phones. It's in the it's in a lot of the towers that we have. It's when you look up at there at HAARP, that's all phased array. So you're talking tremendous power of these
And when you
antennas.
think that the HAARP in Alaska, are there several around the world?
There are big ones, yes, in the northern hemisphere in particular, and that's important to remember because the Arctic Circle and the magnetic pole at that end, as opposed to the southern end, is different. And so they have built them all the big ones up above. The next biggest, the one in Arecibo, Puerto Rico, actually collapsed, and I'm not sure why they did that, but I don't believe they have built another one since. I keep checking on it. But in Norway, there are some very big antennas. And then, of course, China has built something that is just mega. So yes, this is important, but there are a lot of small ones too, and I'm sure you've heard of those.
Yeah,
There's the ones that are on ships, there's the ones that are in radar installations. They're all over the place.
would you say that these antennae are all linked? Are they all
Well,
working together?
the word I would use is not linked because we're talking wireless now,
Right, yeah.
but I would say they're all calibrated to work together.
Right. So
And
the
that
idea of
is,
countries is what I'm trying to get at.
oh yeah,
This
well,
satanic cult is does works beyond boundaries, doesn't it?
well, let's, oh yeah, well, but let's, what I cover primarily in the books I write, because it's where I found the most information at the time I was looking, is I cover the NATO countries
Right.
and the countries that want to be in NATO. And all of those are required to sign off on being chemtrailed, absolutely. And not saying a word about it, just, keep silent. And so that's been years that's been going on, at least since the early 2000s, or maybe 1999 would be the best year I could think of because it's got three sixes in it. Okay, let me finish now. Just okay, so I've said that all the people who have been jabbed and boosted and all that stuff are on leashes. Okay, they're on a Bluetooth leash. Now, what I want to say is, they not only can they be accessed, because now they have consistently every day, 24/7, they have a 90-degree electromagnetic field around them. And I know this has tremendous power because of that word shedding that we keep hearing about. And when, with the word shedding, that everybody wants to turn it into a viral contagion. Not so. Not at all. Not at all. No, it's that when you are close enough to one of these electromagnetic fields, if you get into too much of an electromagnetic field, you right away start feeling the radiation, right? It's radiation sickness we're talking
Dis-ease,
about here.
dis-ease, isn't it? Dis-ease,
Huh?
yeah. Disease,
Yeah.
disease, dis-ease.
Dis-ease,
Yeah.
exactly. So I had this happen in an ocular shop. I went in to look at asked them about eye tests and things. And a woman was in there with her mother, and the mother, I was fine until the mother moved from around her daughter's desk to over here. And then suddenly now I was being triangulated. I recognized it because I can, I've been doing this stuff a long time. Right away, I felt like I was going to throw up. Now that is rare for me. So I recognized that I was being affected by their combined field because they were both vets. So I just sort of backed out and said some niceties and left. And immediately, as soon as I was outside, I felt fine. So so this idea of shedding is part of this. Now let's talk about long COVID. Long COVID is nothing more than radiation illness.
Yeah.
It's radiation. And if you're living, or say I go, I've sometimes go downtown if there's a big wing ding, you know, something's going on, like we had Arts Walk recently. Well, I have to be careful of being in crowds too much, too long, because I start getting those radiation symptoms.
Well,
because
what,
I am just surrounded by the electromagnetic fields.
Do you know what, Alana? You just reminded me of something. Like yourself, I'm never sick. I don't think I've been sick for 20 years. Like, I mean, vomiting, you know. And we went to a pub, and I had a pint of beer, and we were with four friends because we took the kids. And I know for a fact at least two of these are chubbed. I'm guessing the other ones are.
They all have been, Chris.
Yeah, they probably all have been. So we took the kids because it was an outside play area. I had a pint of beer and I had a vegetarian pie. Anyway, that night I woke up and I was agitated and sweating and whatever. And I projectile vomited.
And yeah, projectile.
It came from nowhere.
Didn't one of them work for AstraZeneca?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah, because I'm in the belly of the beast here. A lot of people around here work for those kind of companies, so I keep quiet about what I do.
Do you know what AstraZeneca means, Alana?
Star
weapons
what?
That kill.
AstraZeneca,
really? Yeah, weapons they kill. That's what it means.
Particularly appointed spear projectile.
Why they really don't think much of our intelligence, do they?
No.
but my point was, I always wondered. I thought it can't have been food poisoning because the food tastes fine, and you know I work as a chef by the way, and it was just a vegetarian pie, and I had one pint of beer, and that tasted fine, and I couldn't, and I'm never sick, and what you were saying about triangulation, mate, because it was a good period of time as well, and then the only other time I've got sick in the last 4 years was when at Christmas when. My missus' family were all around, and they're all jabbed. And I've just realised this actually as I'm saying it. And I got sick at Christmas.
And also, you don't know at that particular point what frequencies they're pumping out in the Wi-Fi, or whether they want to up the cases of people being ill, so they go out and get tested and all that other nonsense that they were doing. And that's a simple process. If they just need to click it up to DEFCON 3, for argument's sake, to get a 10% of the town ill, that's what they'll do.
Do you think that's where it's going to go, Lana? Do you think you're going to have to
well,
people
I
sicker?
Think, yeah, I tend to think they're experimenting with a whole lot of things now that they're in, you know, that they've managed, what, billions of people? Unbelievable. Certainly the mind control that was going on during that time was very, very powerful. I actually got a book that Naomi Klein said some things in, and I admire her. I think she's a very good thinker, but she's completely ignorant of the of how this technology has been made, so that the nanotechnology in us, see, we have to worry about that as well now, not just our immune system that's picking up a technology, you know, try to put yourself in the immune system's point of view. Picking up a technology that it simply does not have the ability, because it's synthetic, does not have the ability to contest. That's part of the problem here, is it can, certainly electromagnetics can handle dealing with synthetics, but not the God-given, born-in-us immune system. A lot of people think of the immune system as something produced by eating well or good food or something. No, it's really sort of a divine part of our, what a friend of mine used to call our earth kit.
it's a cellular device, isn't it? It's at a cellular level. It's not a, there's no digestive system, is there?
It's almost like the way the Christians talk about the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
It's almost like that on that level,
The
where
divine.
you've got something that is in us from the moment we're born, and then then you're faced with, well, that poor child is faced with, now we have in the States, I think it's 75 jabs for childhood. 75.
How did we survive?
I had only one as a child. One. So anyway, I wonder if when we go places, if I go downtown to a big do with a bunch of people, I stay on the edges because I realize I am very sensitive to this. And I'm pretty much a trooper. I'm not a hypochondriac by any means. I have a great immune system. I have much confidence in my immune system, but I am dealing with a synthetic world, and that's why I'm writing this book. I'm writing a book about synthetic biology because we need to pick up the pace on realizing what this does to you when everything in you, now take the graphene oxide that's in your hydrogel, in the vax, and then consider what's being dumped on you from above. Hydrogel is found in what's being dumped. So graphene oxide is all over the place in geoengineering because the military calls it the Holy Grail. They can do anything with it and it's cheap. And so
And so
when
we
you have the hydrogel, when you have the graphene oxide in you, it's going to be very hard to protect yourself because the electromagnetism that you are now surrounded by with 5G and 6G, it's not that I want to blame just 5G and 6G and say, oh yeah, well, 4G is fine. No, it's not that. It's that this sets you up for the synthetic world that's already in you because you've breathed it in, you've drunk it in the water, you've eaten it in GMO foods since the 30s. GMO food. I can't, I eat GMO when I go out to eat. And then the next day I eat like a saint because I know that the seed of GMOs, we used to call it Terminator seed years ago for good reason, because it's synthetic. It's not real seed. So you might as well just chuck that whole meal and not eat it because the GMOs are just basically plastic food. So, this is kind of where we're at now is like our experts have failed us. They've made a pile of money off of big pharma giving us drugs to dope us up and get us to feel fine, so-called. It's like, oh, I'm so glad this has come because I have been saying for years to people, don't trust experts. That's why I didn't go and get a PhD. I didn't want to be misperceived as a PhD. I want people to be able to discern, have spiritual discernment of when you meet a good person who's not going to lie to you, that you can trust. We now have almost everyone has no ability to do that anymore. They're looking for the little letters after the person's name. They're listening to their neighbor. Oh yeah, they were wonderful. That doctor's
Unless
wonderful.
you're Bill Gates, and then you can go and give it advice on everything you want to,
Well,
anything
if
you want
you're a
to.
billionaire, yeah, you can give advice on everything. But I
You
maintain
know he's a
that,
knight as well, don't you? He's been knighted. He was knighted
oh, of
by Queen
course. Well,
Elizabeth
they're all
II.
knighted. They're all knighted. That's like the Nobel Prize. You get a Nobel Prize. I know you're a player. You're a player. You're not really a truth teller.
No.
So anyway, we're on the same page, but there are the devil's in the details is how I feel. I'm big on details. So I want to understand what the difference between natural and synthetic is because I've read so many papers and so many patents, and the first thing they leave out in all of these, and it has to do with synthetic biology. They leave the word natural completely out. So what can I assume? It's all unnatural. That's what it is.
It's been
And they
changed.
don't want me to notice. So they take that little word out so that it, at least they're not guilty of libel. And that's where it's at. So now I want to know, personally, myself, I want to know the difference between synthetic and, you know, like the Morgellons. I've talked to several people who had Morgellons back in the day when I was just coming on and interviewing these people and looking at little bits from their scalp, bits from what was coming out of these suppurating boils. Similar to Lyme, but different, not the same.
Yeah, I actually thought I had Morgellons in the 2000s because I had Lyme caused me bad skin condition, but wasn't Morgellons. Yeah,
and Lyme sufferers are prone to Morgellons because like is drawn to like. You know, the Morgellons and the Lyme, they know each other. So anyway, that's part of the electromagnetic thing. That's what I want you to focus on here. Is not. Not so much the entities that have been bioengineered to get them to live inside us as their hosts, or bite us, or otherwise assault our blood, our human blood, but also to understand the role of the electromagnetism that we are now surrounded by. We all remember that after the jabs, the initial jabs, 2020, 2021, out went the white vans, completing the 5G, 6G system, crawling up into the towers, outside schools, outside libraries, outside City Hall, all these places. And was that just because they had a little extra money? No, that was because this is the other side of that coin. They need the electromagnetic. So in this book I just finished on geoengineering, I spend the last chapter talking about the possibility. Now, I'm not certain, but I do know one thing. To eliminate as much of our electromagnetic footprint as possible will only do us good. Rudolf Steiner is very clear. You know, he was a physicist first, and then he was a metaphysicist. So he says that electromagnetism is the means spells death. It certainly spells death of the cells. And what spells life is the word that was banned from science in the United States and in the entire West. Ether, the etheric. The etheric is life. That is the elan vital. That is the chi or ki. That is the thing that is vitality itself, and why everybody's tired and sick now and can't sleep is electromagnetism. They are wallowing in an electromagnetic world. So the first thing to do, I always tell people, what can I do? What can I do? Okay, examine your electromagnetic footprint. How much are you living with the electromagnetism? First of all, I don't own a cell phone. I will never own a cell phone. It's a weapon system. Do I need to underline that in boldface? It's a weapon system. And for doing a job like I'm doing, oh, they would have me in a minute. They would just come through my phone. So I'm not going to own one of those things. There, and then I don't own a television because that's total mind control. And anybody who doesn't see that yet is seriously in trouble. It's been, you know, when I was a little girl and I got a chance now and then to see a TV, black and white, you know, the Cisco Kid, the Lone Ranger, you know, whatever, what's my line on the TV in the 50s in the States. I just felt like I died and gone to heaven. I just love watching those little funny people in that box, you know. But what I really liked was standing by our big radio. We had a big mahogany chest with a radio in it on Saturdays and listening to the Lone Ranger on there. And then my imagination's just going crazy. You know, I can see all of it happening. And that's, I can, I maintain that no TV as growing up is why I'm as vital as I am at 77. I'm as imaginative as I am as a writer. Hey, there's reasons to not subject yourself to this electromagnetic technology without tons of research as to how much you want to pay for it. I don't mean money either. Yeah. So that's kind of how I go. And then the next thing to look at is the food you're eating. Are you eating GMOs every day? Because you'll save money. Well, yeah. You'll save money, but you'll lose your vitality. And I think that's a pretty bad trade-off.
Yes,
so but anyway, those two things alone.
Diet's key. Diet's key.
Diet can be a huge, yeah. huge yeah. help to people.
Well, the three things I changed in main things were everything's wired. We don't use Wi-Fi. End of.
Right.
Everything's got, the water's got a main filter on it, and we filter it a different way as well for drinking. And and diet's key. Diet is key.
Diet is key.
Eating clean food that's non-GMO is, anyway. Yeah. So a few things there. I wrote a few notes down before we started. I wrote a question down here. What is geoengineering? Can you remember you were going to?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to read that.
Yeah.
All right. So first of all, a really tidy little definition. Geoengineering is the intentional manipulation of global scale Earth system processes. Okay, let me read it again. Geoengineering is intentional manipulation of global scale Earth system processes. Hugely wonderful. I don't know who said it either. I've had it for years. All right, now let me read this to you. This is from Matt Anderson, former executive advisor for aerospace and defense at the Booz Allen Hamilton company. That was a defense contractor. I think they're out of business now. They've been bought out by somebody in Chicago. And Matt, in 2012, had this published in The Guardian in Britain, At War Over Geoengineering. Few in the civil sector fully understand that geoengineering is primarily a military science and has nothing to do with either cooling the planet or lowering carbon emissions. While seemingly fantastical, weather has been weaponized. At least four countries, the US, Russia, China, and Israel, possess the technology and organization to regularly alter weather and geologic events for various military and black operations, which are tied to secondary objectives, including demographic, energy, and agricultural resource management. Indeed, warfare now includes the technological ability to induce, enhance, or direct cyclonic events, earthquakes, drought and flooding, including the use of polymerized aerosol, viral agents, and radioactive particulates carried through global weather systems. Various themes in public debate, including global warming, have unfortunately been subsumed into much larger military and commercial objectives that have nothing to do with broad public environmental concerns. These include the gradual warming of polar regions to facilitate naval navigation and resource extraction. There it is, from the horse's mouth.
And that's 2012. I know it's not a long time ago, as in how long they've had these weapon systems, but still it's long enough to say, wow, I bet they've moved on from there.
Oh, they've been doing this that I fight. And I go back to what's called Project Cloverleaf. That was the original that I was concentrating on, because Cloverleaf was easier to find on the internet than like the more warlike ionospheric. No, that's not the word I want. There's a term for the weapon system that is. blocking it right now, but it is the one that I had trouble finding anything on. And once I was sitting in Santa Fe at Cowgirls Bar, having a beer and sitting beside a couple of guys. And I heard that one of them was worked at LANL, Los Alamos National Labs. And so I thought, well, I'll just ask him. And I said, excuse me, if you work at LANL, have you heard the term interferometry? And he looked at me, grabbed his beer, and moved to the end of the bar. That was the term, interferometry. That is how HARP and all of the ionosphere keters can be used to triangulate a target area with their rays from their phased array antennas and bouncing energy off of the ionosphere. Boom. Done. Gone.
I remember in 2004, was it, when the tsunami in Thailand happened? And that seemed very weapon-like to me because...
Well, it was. It was. Yeah. And I would say from 1999 on, even before they had control over the total control over the ionosphere, they were every single extreme event done supposedly by weather has been geoengineered. Absolutely. They're also, remember, they're control freaks. They don't want anything happening that doesn't have their stamp of approval on it. Because they serve a doctrine, and I have it plenty of times in my books, called full spectrum dominance. It's a doctrine. And what they want is they want full spectrum dominance over the electromagnetic spectrum. And they have that now. Every single little nuance in that, including ours, right? Mm. Ours is in the middle, which is very tiny and very, you know, very much about our perceptions, our ability to perceive things. But I would say that none of us run that anymore. We're all plugged in. Even I, who, you know, do so much to keep myself separate from
unplugged.
These
yeah, I do as well, but you're still
yeah,
plugged,
but,
whether you like
but
it or
we're
not.
All plugged in, and we call it the smart grid, but it is what I call in the second book, and from then on, the space fence. That's what Lockheed Martin is in charge of. And Lockheed Martin is number one in weapons in the world. So, yeah, the space fence is what we're all plugged into now. And some people more than others. Those who don't use their brain and their brains are sluggish and they're into their feelings, as they call it, that probably is not going to work very well for them. But I still have to keep myself pure. You know, I don't see many movies. I have my computer. That, of course, is
I can't watch TV anymore.
Electromagnetic.
It hurts. I haven't watched TV for over a decade. It hurts my brain. It's just
no,
painful.
It's boring.
It's boring, and it's just hard. It's just painful. I just can't.
Yeah,
I just can't put myself through it.
And I guess people who don't read, I guess they're content with what the world provides as far as alternate realities to kind of snuggle into for a while. But I find a good book just completely does it for me. Whereas usually what's on TV and stuff, it's targeting the couch potato middle class. It's really not targeting the smart people, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And what they call smart, the other problem is what they call smart is not what I call smart.
No, it's smart on a smart TV.
Yeah.
Well, one book I did read is this. I heard you talking about it, actually, is The Cosmic Pulse of Life.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You want to have a look at that?
Yeah.
Chris, you'd like that.
And what's his name who wrote it?
The chap's name is Trevor James Constable.
Yeah, I emailed with Trevor before he died quite a bit because he was the only person I knew who had seen the plasma entities
yeah.
over the desert and had taken photos of some of them. Now, I saw one of those plasma entities when I was living in Santa Fe. I was living outside of Santa Fe, on a high hill, and I saw a snake, or it will look like a snake, came out of nowhere, poked its head out of the sky, it looked like, and started wiggling across to some other portal that it saw, and I didn't see it, and then stuck its head into that portal and eventually disappeared into
Oh, well, what's his conclusion as to what they are? Does he have a conclusion or
Well,
a theory?
he calls them plasma entities. Yeah. And the reason the word plasma, I mean, we have plasma in us as well. I don't mean the plasma in your blood. I mean, we have a plasma body. Where you can see that that's true is if you use some form of electromagnetism, like the remember the Curlian photography of taking pictures of our astral body, and it would be a body of light. In a way, that's right at the edge of the plasma world. Plasma. We can see it in labs where they're producing rays of plasma, like the laser. But plasma basically is gas and fire together. Just think of it that way. So these entities, in order to maybe visit this realm, this dimension, this 4D dimension, or whatever they might call it, they may need a bit of a more of a body than they have, because their existence doesn't necessarily require a body. That's very hard for us to wrap our heads
It's
around.
more energetic
It's
in nature.
energetic, and some people would use the word spiritual. I see nothing particularly amazing about that. This world is full of, you couldn't believe what is in this world, that we simply don't have the electromagnetic spectrum to be able to perceive with our five senses. We have to turn to other
Do
senses. We
you
have to
think some of
develop
this?
other senses.
Do you think some of this transhumanism is because I know when I was real quite ill, I was very sensitive to electro frequencies and things like that, and also sound and light and things. But on another side, that could be actually beneficial to if somebody got it right and tuned it properly. Like I'll use a super soldier as an example. That type of hypersensitivity could be beneficial. I'm wondering whether like dementia and things like that, whether that could be. We're seeing the bad side of it, but on the other side of it, they could be trying to make this superhuman that can have all these supernatural powers, if you like, to be able
Well,
to be able to stop this kind of stuff.
the problem is, you and I are members of Homo sapiens. We are not members of a superhuman
No.
race. We are not. And to abandon our humanity, which has extraordinary gifts, like Michelangelo, Raphael, Beethoven, I could go
Just
on and on.
consciousness in itself is a gift.
All my life, even since I was a little girl, I mean, who was I? I was like an alien or something. I have desired to be fully human. That has been something I have said since I was a little girl. And people would laugh at me and say, "Well, aren't you already hu fully human?" No, I'm not. And I really feel that. I want to be a real human being, which is why I'm fighting this battle against evil so hard. I want to be fully human. I don't want to be enhanced by people I don't trust, or a technology I don't trust. The problem with using, now we are experimenting, many of us, doctors, medical people, are experimenting with utilizing electromagnetics to heal electromagnetic problems. So I'm interested in that.
Bioresonance stuff.
Resonance, that would be like ultrasound, maybe.
I mean, that if you see behind me that bed there,
I saw that.
that's a red light bed. That,
Okay.
and that wooden box behind me there is an infrared sauna. And I've
Yeah,
actually get some
exactly.
fantastic results from. So there is
And
an
of
opposite.
course,
There is an opposite to this electro. Like,
of
there's a
course,
beneficial side of it. Yeah.
You remember that Constable used infrared in
Yeah.
film in
Yeah.
order to
In some of those pictures.
photograph
Yeah.
the plasma beings.
Yeah.
So no, I haven't given up on it, but I am cautious because Rudolf Steiner is very clear that electromagnetism for the human being, the Homo sapiens, is basically death. It wears you down fast.
I'd like to do a next time we talk, probably in the new year when you release your new book, when that's released.
Yeah.
We'll do it afterwards. But I'd like to do an hour on Steiner, wouldn't you, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to hear, because I know we've got a mate of ours who studied Steiner as well, Lee.
Yeah.
He studied Steiner, and he's done some podcasts on Steiner. He'd be interested in hearing your, I won't say take, what Steiner meant for you and
Oh,
his
well, he's
teachings. Yeah.
been hugely important for making. I've always been an intellectual since I was a child, but he has helped me to learn to think through my heart.
Yes.
You can't be an
My heart
intellectual, well,
forces, my fourth chakra.
You haven't
So
got a PhD.
that's huge.
Christian says, you can't be an intellectual because you haven't got a PhD. Only if you've got a
Yeah.
PhD can be an intellectual.
I
You see
saved
those letters after
myself.
your
I
name. Can't
saved
just go around
myself
saying
from
you're
that.
intellectual. So you've also just been, I mean, we're coming up to about, I know we said we were going to do about an hour and a half, so we're coming up to an hour and 20 minutes. So I don't, that you helped, or an MK Ultra survivor, I use the word helped because I don't know the relationship. And
Which
you've been
one?
quite, Elisa?
Oh, Elisa. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. She's made her two books into one book now.
Right.
Actually, that was a strange synchronicity. The first time we spoke to you, Alana, I'd been listening to some of your interviews with her. I think it was with her. It was with some SRA survivors. And
Yeah.
I mentioned it to Dom, and then you contacted him and, within a week, and asked and mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
There
Do you remember
you
that, Dom?
go.
That was a
Yeah, I
strange
do.
one.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was a strange one.
Yeah, there you go.
Quite a lot were happening synchronicity wise around that time.
I had a strange one yesterday, actually, Alana. I went to the park with my child, and I took a book. I just picked a book up that I haven't read, and it was Invisible Rainbow, Arthur Furstenberg.
Oh, by
And
Arthur.
I've not started reading it, but I've got it here. And I put it in my bag, and I thought, I'll go to the park. I'll take it with me so I can manipulate the nervous system. Bring a book, Dad, so that'll sit there for longer. So I took a book, and I thought, I'll just have a leaf through it because I started reading it. Anyway, I came home, and I was packing up some boxes, and I thought, I'll have a look at what you've been doing lately. So I was watching a few of your interviews, and then I found one, and it was a woman. I don't know if you're aware of this, but she's basically read all of your last book on, it's on Rumble, I think, and she reads the whole book. But before she started talking, because I was looking for your name, and she reads the whole book in like seven parts, and she's saying how fantastic it is as well, by the way. But she said, so I've just come back from the park, and I've got Invisible Rainbow in my bag, and she goes, I'm going to read Alana Freelander's book. I've just finished doing The Invisible Rainbow, and then, now I'm going to move on. And I'm like, is that a coincidence? And then I'm thinking, the chances of me having that in my bag and looking at it
Well,
10
it's
minutes
all
ago.
connected, isn't it? It's all connected.
Bizarro.
Yeah,
Absolutely
and
bizarro.
I used to work with Arthur in Santa Fe.
All
I mean, I
right.
know Arthur. Yeah, and he's the one who constantly says, despite everybody telling him to the contrary, that what I'm doing is just a conspiracy theory. There is no problem with the chemtrails. None, zero.
Right.
Arthur is what he is. He's always been very arrogant. But his book, Invisible Rainbow, is very helpful, and I recommend it often.
Yeah,
you can't I mean you can't agree with everything everybody says, can you? You just got to. There's no
You
point.
have to go yourself.
You have to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to make your own.
Exactly.
I mean, I also think once you've gone that far, like Arthur went on that side, surely you can. I don't understand the mentality that you got to have blinkers on for one thing. Anyway, but maybe we're made different. I don't know, but
Well, no,
it's fantastic.
I think with Arthur, he's a Princeton guy. I think with Arthur, it's that he doesn't want to taint himself with anything that has the CIA using the word conspiracy theory around. So he waits until it's absolutely accepted. Now he can deal with it. He's just, that's the way he is.
Yeah.
But anyway, I would love to come on again. and talk about that. Let me tell where the books are. I highly recommend that people buy my books, any of them, any
So
of
do I.
them.
So do I.
This one place in Seattle. Now, if you're in UK, I would say Watkins would be where I would go because they don't have all my books, but they often have a couple.
What's that?
Anyway,
Watkins?
Watkins?
yeah,
Oh,
Watkins, yeah, in downtown London.
right.
But
I never heard of that.
the other place in the States in Seattle, which is near me, my friend Frank Dauenhauer has the Rudolf Steiner bookstore. Real
Right.
easy to remember. Rudolf Steiner Bookstore, Seattle, Washington. He carries every book I've ever written.
Yeah.
And it's in his backyard. I mean, it's just this little teeny weeny,
Fantastic.
you
It's Rudolf Steiner Bookstore. What a right name that is.
know.
Just it nipping back to MK Ultra. I'll put all your the details for where you can buy books and things like that on your website in the show notes, so people better get that information. And if there's any other information, just email it me, any links to any of these places you've mentioned, and we'll put them on there. But going back to MK Ultra, if you think about the rudimentary MK Ultra that we're using way back, and I read an article, there's a few books being written about Hitler being possibly, I don't know if you've come across
Oh,
this.
he was mind controlled, no doubt about it.
It's it.
Yeah, he was run by a couple of secret societies, the Thule Society and Thule, and the Vril Society,
Damn, I
VRI.
thought it was just a simple corporal in the German
They had him
army.
on drugs all the time, all the time. The guy, I don't know that we've ever seen who he might have been, but he certainly, what they could do with him. As far as power over others, oh my gosh, through his voice and his speeches that he gave in the plazas or whatever they're called, were just absolutely, they just made people believe.
Better than
They
Joe
just made
Biden's
people
anyway.
believe. And we had the same thing happening, not with that WTO guy, but we had the same thing happening here. With the mind control to get people to line up for the jabs. But now we have the electromagnetic control and through the nanotechnology in their skulls, in their brains, in their, to make them do whatever through the TV and the cell phone, in my opinion. And that's another reason not to own either. But I think really we need to just become aware of our own thoughts. And even ask ourselves if something really wild comes into our mind or dark or whatever, was that my thought?
Have you heard of a guy? We've had him on the podcast a few times, haven't we, Chris? Jerry Mazinski. Have you heard him talking?
Yeah, I know
Jerry.
who he is.
Jerry. I mean, the reason I love what Jerry says and what Chris, me and Chris like what he says is because he comes from it from a totally, I don't want to use the word naive, but from a mainstream perspective that's taken
Non-conspiratorial, non-conspiratorial.
non-conspiratorial, just a mainstream, because he's not naive at all, but just, and he's. His information is astounding. It freaked me out going back about 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it
Yeah. Well,
was.
interestingly as well, Fatty, what he said. I think it was him or the guy we interviewed with him. They said it, he said it seemed like technology, these voices in his head, basically. And he said when he left his house, they got quieter and quieter and quieter. I mean, you're talking like demonic possession or whatever. But then he said when he got went back to his house, it got louder and louder and louder. So he thought it was something pinpointed at where he lived,
Well, it's
basically.
frequency. I mean, I'm willing to blame demons after I've dispensed with electromagnetism as explaining it well.
That could be the demon,
I'm not
couldn't
opposed to the
it?
idea of demons at all, but often it's simply the electromagnetism. And Elisa, as in MK Ultra's survivor, she also feels that the waves coming in from the frequencies. She says the demons ride those waves into my brain. Yeah, and I think that's a
Could be, I
very
mean,
interesting way to think of it.
the demonic whatever could be they maybe they need a technology. I mean, we call it the spirit world. Maybe wherever they are, they do need a form of technology
Well,
to
we're back to
tap
the
into that.
electromagnetism, because they would, it would be the electromagnetism. Like, you're never going to find a demon riding the ether into you. No, that's not going to happen, because the ether is good and the electromagnetic is not really good, even though we need it to think, we need it to do our culture. I'm not opposed to it. I'm simply, it's like, wake up and take charge of it.
Yeah,
Take charge.
speaking with certain people, there are. I mean, we're talking about frequencies here. There are going to be benevolent frequencies as well as the ones that harm us, and where they've chosen to use the bad ones, basically. Again, to fight over good versus evil,
Well, yes, but again, we're
possibly.
back to that human problem. See,
Yes.
if you keep on dumping the human as being the one that's going to save us from
Yeah.
this, we've got to develop our humanity.
Elon
We've
Musk might
got
do
to
it.
develop it.
Elon Musk
Huh?
might save. Elon Musk might save us.
Well, no. Elon Musk, he's caught between a rock and a hard place. I feel for him, but no, he's not going to save us.
He's a controlled
Neither
entity, isn't
is
he? Yeah.
Trump. No,
No.
nobody's coming to save us.
No.
Only you.
Yes,
Only you
exactly.
and me.
I have to
See?
ask you, Alana, what is your opinion? And we don't really talk about politics, but what is your opinion of that entire shenanigans with the Trump and RFK and now Musk, sorry, now yeah, Elon's gone up there siding with Trump. And what do you
Yeah.
think that what do you think the lead there's obviously a plan there, isn't there? What do you think the leading up to
Well,
that slow turn? No.
we're in a very hard situation here in the States, because we didn't do anything about the deep state for all these decades
It's the
since
same over here as
Kennedy's
well,
assassination.
Elena. It's the same over here as well. It's the same over here as well,
Yeah,
probably in most Western countries, I'd say. I
right.
think we're.
So we didn't do anything, and now everybody's sort of awake because they're in fear. To me, Trump, because of the hatred, and I've seen how his name is used in the mind control here in my town for 2 or 3 years, the past 2 or 3 years. If I bring up the just the name Trump, people just come unglued,
It's
and
comical, isn't it? It's actually
they're,
comical.
yeah, but it's, that's programming.
Yeah,
That's how you
100%.
know it's
I
programming. So
remember
if Trump is that hated by the deep state, I'm for him. This may be the bull in the china shop who can get us out of this mess with his military friends. At this point, I don't really care who he uses, but I want to be done with this deep state. It has ruined this country, and I don't at all think that we can salvage everything. I know that because now we have the electromagnetism to deal with, but I still need this deep state, just these nasty, nasty Satanists. I want them out of my range of vision for a while.
What it does show is that there are different factions fighting for power, doesn't it? That it isn't
No,
just
it's
one group.
beyond that.
Yeah.
It's beyond that. It's the good versus evil thing.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, I am saying that every Satanist is evil. Yes, I'm saying that. But I'm not saying that every Christian or Buddhist or a conscious person or whatever is good. No, good
No.
and evil is sort of a human theme that we constantly
I know
deal with.
Christians that back the and again I'm not getting involved in the war, but I know people who are Christians, practicing Christians, who think what's happening in Gaza should be
No,
happening.
no, I know, but I'm telling you, if you do research, you will
Yeah.
find out why.
Yes.
It,
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
not that these are, it's completely understandable, and it will end up in that MK Ultra place. It will. It will. Because MK Ultra, even though the old MK Ultra, which was basically hypnotism,
Yeah, the analog version.
chemicals,
Yeah.
and what's the other one? Pain induction
Yeah.
is
Torture.
now done remotely. They don't need to take you to a clinic. They don't need to hypnotize you. The TV does that just fine. And your little cell phone. I mean, basically, you need to take charge of your life. And that, in my opinion, does not include electromagnetics. Does not include it. In fact, get rid of it. Just stay away from it if you possibly can. But that's not going to solve everything. It's got to be from your will forces. And the will forces of most Americans are we're very willful for our own desires. Yes, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about will forces that you can direct to do whatever you decide you want them to do. That's now that's power. And the bad guys know that, and I want the good guys to know that. It's
And that,
not
that's
just pray that Jesus will help you or
yeah.
Trump will help you or anybody will help you. Just get your will forces together, and that will require a disciplined life. Now, I don't mean some terrible thing where you don't have any fun with your kids. I just mean you've got a discipline that you've got to have. And see, I am disciplined to the nth degree because I have very strong will forces and I'm up against a very big enemy. Come on.
The
The
ultimate
ultimate
enemy.
enemy. I
Yeah.
am very aware of that.
They're
And by the
relentless.
way,
They're relentless.
when I don't know that I mentioned it to you last time. I don't want to talk about it now because I'm going bye-bye. But when I was 25, I had an experience of a divine being in my classroom. And 3 days later, it identified itself. And when it did, it identified itself with certain words that I didn't even know what they were. I never heard those words. I was not raised a Christian. I was not raised any religion. My mother worshiped money. And I went around sneaking around in the 60s generation in Hawaii, asking people, "Have you ever heard these words?" And most people didn't even, they hadn't heard them either. But I finally came to someone and said, "Yeah, that's how Jesus Christ represented himself." And the words were, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And when I found out that I would have to be a Christian, I was depressed. I saw a lot more. I saw my last life.
What year would that have been, Alan, if you don't mind me
That
asking?
was 1973.
Right.
And
Yeah,
I
that's where I was born.
subsequently found out as a historian that a lot of things happened in 1973.
You were born for
A
one.
lot.
I was born in 1973.
Yes, it was a big, big, big year. And it was a big year for me because I always said that, I tried to go to churches for 5 years. I tried. But it was like coffee hour or something. I didn't know what they were doing there. And the men were always telling me what I should do, They're always telling the women what to do. And I said to this being who I knew was Christ, I said finally, "Lord, I can't do this anymore. I think I'm gonna say that every day is church, every day is Sunday, and everywhere is church, and call it good." And so I stopped going to churches then a long time ago. But the Christ thing has never left me,
Not
never
surprised. I'm
left
not
me.
surprised something like that. I mean, Chris had a one when he was really young. We've narrowed it down to him being about, what would you say, Chris, 10, were it? About
Which one?
1984, something like that.
What?
Seen a craft over here
Yeah, that was
and
a yeah.
lost
Well, I mean, that
time.
was different, but
Oh,
yes,
you saw a craft?
yeah, large one, yeah. Yeah, down
Him and his
where
friends, and there's only him
we
that
grew up.
remembered it, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't seem to remember it when we got older, but I
Well,
remember it to this day, yeah.
maybe next time I'll tell you about I have seen a craft too, but it turned out that it was more like Trevor Constable said. It looked like a giant skate fish.
Plasma parasite.
And it and it well, it may have been, and it had what I thought were portholes were actually it was breathing. And it flew in and it was right over me, and the radiation
He does
circle in
explain
the
stuff like that in this
grass.
book, doesn't he? Trevor,
Yeah,
he
yeah.
explains stuff like that in
And
that book.
I got to see one because I asked to see it.
Right.
And it came, well, anyway,
You've got to be
see,
care.
I'm
You've got to be
getting way
careful.
off
You've
topic here.
got to be careful what you ask for.
Wait, just cut all that. Cut all that
We'll
from the
cut all
show.
that out, the end out. Yeah.
All
We'll
right.
call it a
So
day there.
I'll see you guys next time. You're way fun. Way fun. Thank you so
Great,
much.
Contact
Alana.
you in the new year, Alana, and
Okay. Yeah.
find out when your book's out, and then we'll do.
February 3rd.
All right, we'll get something in diary
I'll write
after
that
then.
down.
of the oceans and skies.